Each of these weeks when we've been doing this online, I've just said, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say today? And early on in the week, the Lord just put this phrase on my mind, familiar, simple, but I just want to unpack it for a few moments today. And it comes from the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. So let me read this passage from Matthew 6. We're going to start in verse 6 and go down to 14. And then I just want to think about one little phrase, one little word, one little phrase in there today. So Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The phrase I want us to think about is this one. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And today we want it to speak into our hearts. We invite your Holy Spirit to come. Come and minister to us here and now, wherever we are. We just say, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Lord, as we open your word, let it feed us. We say, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Let it feed us. Let us feast on it today. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. And we say, come, minister, and move amongst your people now. In Jesus' name. I was gutted this week. My bread machine broke. I couldn't believe it. At a time like this, when I need it probably more than ever, my bread machine broke. I do like my bread machine. We go through times in this house where what will happen is I'll put a loaf on in the evening. So I put all the ingredients in and I whack it on the timer and it comes on in the middle of the night. And what we do is we wake up and our house is full of the aroma of fresh bread. It smells like a bakery. And then for breakfast we have fresh bread. And for lunch we have fresh bread. Not very good for a low carb diet, I have to say. Sorry, John. but we love it. Now, this is not a massive issue for us. We will cope with a broken bread machine. There are other sources for us to take to get our daily bread, but I know it's just not the same. Friends, today, as I said, I felt, as I prayed about what to share this morning, to remind us of this one line in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus invites us to pray, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And I'm going to think about what that means just for a few moments. What does it mean for us to say to the Lord, Lord, give us our daily bread today? Now, I don't need to tell you that these are incredibly challenging days for many of us. Some are more impacted than others by the current coronavirus crisis. But the reality is that we're all being impacted in one way or another. I realise that for the majority of us, because of the context in that we live in, we will have the basic human needs. Our basic human needs will be met. But we've got to remember, and I think we're going to pray into this a little tomorrow night, there are those in our world for whom the implications of COVID-19 are far more severe because they lack those basic things. And we've got to remember those. I know Hannah put some stuff out this week about what Tear Fund are doing there. But what we are denied are some of the things that give us such great sources of comfort and care in these days. You know, I saw it and I felt it so acutely this week. I did two funerals, and I know Debbie and Nell are both tuning in. It was Nell's father on Tuesday and Debbie's stepfather, Debbie from St. Austell's stepfather, did the funerals. And I'll be honest with you, they were really, really hard because we weren't allowed to hug each other. We had to sit metres apart. The numbers of people there were restricted. Afterwards, there was no gathering to go and support and care and talk about the loved ones that had lost. It was really, really difficult. So I felt this kind of the impact of this time so acutely in that moment. And then I went on to deliver some supplies to some dear, dear friends of ours in this church who are absolutely going through it at this time. And I couldn't go in. I couldn't give them a hug and console them and sit and pray with them in their home. We just shouted across the garden. I shouted to somebody through the window who was sat inside, and it was so, so difficult. And as I turned to walk away, I just wept. I just thought, Lord, this is so hard. Today, that's the day that Jesus says that we should ask for our daily bread, is difficult for many. And some of the things that are so key in our being sustained and supported are being denied us. And we feel it so acutely. You know, and though these things, these social contact, community, friends, family, a hug, just being in the same room with people, they're such a blessing. They're a gift from God. We were made to be connecting in this way. And as they're being kind of denied us in some respects, for many, we become acutely aware of how grateful to God we are for them. But what I pray in these days is that when we are restricted this way, when we're denied, we become more aware, more reliant than ever before on the one who is not constrained by social distancing. The one who doesn't have to, we don't have to isolate ourselves from. And I think this is just, I just want us to think about some of the things that we're kind of lacking at this time. And as we lack them, it's almost how they kind of, what place and part they take in our life. We're grateful for God for them, but actually in these days we should be and need to be turning to Him more and more. The one who says, you know, I'm always with you. That's the promise. I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. The one who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The one who said, you know, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. And our prayer at this time is that we would believe and know that deep, deep down, more than we did before. And we'll know it more again tomorrow. And this is my prayer for us all at this time. I said about doing a funeral this week, and it was Nell's father that the funeral was for on Tuesday. His name was Wynne, and he was 100 years old. He was born in March 1920 and died in March 2020. And Wynne was born in the valleys in Wales. Got this picture. Nell did some pictures. There we go. You can see that amazing picture of when he was born 100 years ago. I'll just show you a picture of him now. Here we go. Or when he died. There you go. That's Wynne. Lovely, lovely man. Grew up in the valleys. Very proud of his Welsh roots and heritage. Can anyone guess? It's a question. There's a prize here if someone gets it. There'll be a little bit of a delay waiting for the answer to come through. Nell, you're not allowed to answer this, but what was the hymn we sung at the funeral on Tuesday? See if anyone gets it. I've got a prize here. Lynn, you spotted these earlier. There will be a prize for the person who gets the hymn. Good Welsh hymn. Wait for it to come through. No. Sorry, Dan, not Melanie, not how great thou art. Come on, someone, you can do it. Welsh hymn. I'll give you the writer of the hymn if you want. His name was William Williams. Somebody. Bread of Heaven. What's it called? Yes, Rosie, you're the winner. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Bread of Heaven. Bread of Heaven. Feed me now and evermore. I've no idea how I'm going to get this prize to you, Rosie, but anyway, some point in the future, you'll get your chocolates. In John 6:35, this is what it says. You know, Jesus has fed the 5,000. He showed care and compassion. He fed their bodies with this amazing miracle. Later, the people find him again, and Jesus has to explain to them that there's another bread that they need. Another bread that they need. Bread that would not mean that they wouldn't hunger again. This is what it says. Jesus said to them, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." A shift is taking place in this moment. Jesus moves from what he can do for them, he can give them bread, fill their bellies, to who he really is, the one who had come from God to fulfill and provide for their basic fundamental human need facing the whole of humanity in the world at this time, for the forgiveness of sin, for the restoration of relationship with God, and to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is not denying the importance of these bodies of ours. He shows time and time again how important they are, doesn't he? Through his ministry on earth, healing and providing, helping. He's just saying that there's a sustenance, a provision, that there is almost more important than that. That we need to take hold of, and if we never take hold of it or receive it, things will come and go in our lives that we'll think will give us that sense of fulfillment, that filling, if you like, but they will pass and we will be hungry again. But when we feast on Jesus, when we believe in him, and we're going to be celebrating what that means over the coming weeks, when we love him, when we follow him, when we spend time with him, and when we receive from him, there's a feeding and a sustenance deep, deep down for us to know today. And maybe for some who are listening today, you've never done that before. You've never said, "Yes, I want to just receive from you." And I want to suggest that this is a great thing to do. The best thing you will ever do. For others who are kind of feeling at the moment, no, I use the word hungry, but people are feeling sort of a sense of lack, maybe because the things that we're created for, those social connections and contacts that we were talking about earlier, those are lacking in our lives. Suddenly we're feeling a bit bereft, we're feeling a bit lost. I want to say to you, if we turn to Jesus and if we just feed on him and believe on him and serve him and love, then he comes near to us and he draws near to us. There can be like a feeding on him that can bring comfort and care for today. The interesting thing about this passage is that when we say to Jesus, when Jesus invites us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread," he's not talking about himself here. He's not talking about spiritual bread. He's not talking about a spiritual fulfillment. He is actually talking about a very practical sort of provision. So I want to finish really by saying, yes, we can talk about this bread in terms of you know, Jesus calling himself the bread of life and receiving from him. But at the same time, there is a daily provision. And I think this is what the Lord really wants to underline to us today. A couple of words from this little phrase that will help us to understand what it is we're saying when we say, give us today our daily bread. The first word that I want us to think about is what it means, this word daily, our daily bread. I confess, we're trying to work things out a little bit for the future at the moment. You know, we've got a trustees meeting on Tuesday evening, and we're trying to work out what it might look like in July or September, and it's really, really difficult because we just don't know. Now, lots of people are feeling this way. And I think it's okay to start trying to plan a little bit for the future. But in the confusion and the uncertainty of this time, it's going to be difficult. And what I feel we need to do is just not worry about that. Not let that become an anxiety for us. But I do want us to think about today. You know, it's difficult to plan for the future, but this word daily is really an important word, because it only appears twice in the New Testament, one in Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, and the second is in the one that we read in Matthew. And it's a problematic word in the original language of the Bible, and there's all sorts of arguments about what it actually means. And for years there was some sort of no uncertainty, and it was just applied in different ways. But then I think it was in the 50s, what happened was somebody found some papyrus buried in the sand in Egypt. And this word was written on this papyrus. And it became really clear what this word meant when it was read in the context of the bit of paper, because it was obvious that the bit of paper was someone's shopping list. It was provision for the day ahead. And it just confirmed, you know, that what Jesus was saying in this phrase, and what he's encouraging us to do, is he to say, Lord, give me what I need. What do I need for the day ahead? Provision for the day ahead, for the next 24 hours. There's nothing wrong with planning, but it's very difficult to do that in these difficult days. But we can. And Jesus invites us to say, Lord, you know, what about the next 24 hours? What do you need for the next 24 hours? I think about those guys who are heading up to the hospital today, right on the front line. What does it mean for you to say this morning, give us today our daily bread? What about those of you who are waking up this morning and thinking, another day on my own? Another day with no social contact. Another day where I can't hug my family. What does it mean for you to say to the Lord, give us today our daily bread? I want to encourage us all each day to pray this prayer. To say, Lord, these are difficult days, but Lord, give us today our daily bread. Second word that I want us to think about is the word our. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, give us this day my daily bread. It says, give us today our daily bread. You know, where Jesus encourages us to pray this prayer, he says we're to pray it in the secret place. He says, go into your room, shut the door and speak to your Father. And although we often pray this prayer corporately, you know, the encouragement is to pray it privately, but that doesn't mean we pray it selfishly. The word doesn't allow us to do that. It says, give us today our daily bread. It's not denying that we have needs that we want to bring before God. It tells us at the start of this passage that he knows what those needs are before we ask them. But he is encouraging us to ask this in with community, with church family, with the world around us in mind. It prompts us and it causes us to potentially be the answer to that prayer for others. So I want to encourage us today to pray the prayer, give us today our daily bread. And I encourage you to pray every single day, believing that the Lord will provide. He is the one who gives good gifts to his children.